dad eventually owned was McGecky's, and then I think it was Malcolm McFadder Patton. That was my grandpa's brother, or his John's brother, right?
John's brother.
And then he moved away, so then that must have been when Daniel bought it, and eventually my dad inherited that particular farm, which didn't have any buildings on it, because the house was rolled up front, so, you know, and they did talk about tragedies that had happened and stuff, but when you look at some of it, there were a lot of younger children that passed away.
Right.
Probably due to illness that they didn't have medicine to make better. And I noticed one of my, I think, grandpa's brother, one of the Angus Patton anyway, that said he had diabetes, which was something I never knew until I was doing some research. So sometimes it's interesting to go back that way for family, you know, just to see health-wise things you should watch for or whatever. But
John McFadder was a true Scotsman. He was very close with his money. And so he did not want a tombstone at the cemetery. So there, a lot of family are buried at Cal McBride Cemetery, in the old part especially, some in the new part and some in the old part. So John McFadder, as well as Daniel, his son, are buried in the old part of Cal McBride. And he did not want a tombstone. So it must have been family later on, because he does have one now. But he did not want one because he didn't want to pay for it.
No.
That's good that they have one now.
They do. Now, the mom's mother's grandparents, the Reitmans, Alan Reitman and Susan Thayer, they don't have one. So one of their, they lost two of their daughters, both named Annie. One was died as a toddler, and then the other was drowned in the Thames River, crossing from Middlemiss in the 1920s. And so she doesn't have a stone, and her parents don't have a stone. And they're in the old part near the back at Cowell McBride. So something that we need to kind of look at correcting.
Definitely.
To have that there.
Yeah, one of my my grandfather and Jenny Art, like they are on that other side. I think there were two different cemeteries at one time, but and so then there Donald, Dad's brother, never married, so he's buried there. Very nice man, like I say, he did live it like a hermit at the end. But then I talked my sister into taking him to her house when he. He wanted to come and live with me, and I had a very small house, and I felt so bad. So I twisted my sister Faye into taking him to my own station, and his last year was there, and so he was very comfortable. And there was some mental health issues in the family, which is people didn't really talk about back when, but very nice man, but he did have periods when he wasn't well, I guess you would call it, or he would call it his black times. And I mean, after having a house full of people, two houses actually, and then his sister lived with them and her family for quite a few years, and then they moved away to Chatham. And then to be left all alone, like, you know, you kind of think that might do it too.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked up to my dad, and dad was youngest, but he always looked up to dad to do stuff for him. And then dad moved up to Southwold, so you can see where that could kind of play an issue too. But
and Uncle Donald was always a soft-spoken man, very kind man. It always impressed me as a child that he would know my name, because there's so many children at the reunion. I don't know how many siblings Grandpa had in total. How many children did Daniel and Janet have?
I have to think about it.
But you know, there was a lot of nieces and nephews for him, and I was a great niece, and he always addressed me by my name. He always said hello, and he always said my name, and I thought that was really cool that he knew that. But he also knew some of the history and some of those pieces of it, where my grandpa Lloyd was the youngest, he didn't pay attention.
Right.
And plus, his mom had died when he was 18, so he didn't know some of the the stories, and that where Uncle Donald, of course, had lived in the family homestead from birth, so he knew more of that pieces of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you mentioned that your dad did some logging and stuff. What was his? Was he just a farmer?
He was a farmer all his life. Yeah, but.
Most of your family members just farmers, or?
Yeah.
Grandpa worked as a mechanic as well as farming later.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was never licensed, but he worked for Jane's Transport back when, you know, they could work without a license on trucks and stuff. He worked for a farm equipment dealer in town. But then for many years when we were children, he didn't work. He sharecropped one farm in Southwell when he first went there. And so, you know, the people got so much percentage of whatever we grew. And I know my mom used to get upset because they would come even with the garden stuff and they would claim their half. And mom used to get upset because she always felt that was kind of her thing, but it was on their land. But dad would be home, and when we had measles, myself and my sister Faye and my brother Dave. I can remember that room being all dark and us having blankets on the floor so it wouldn't affect our eyes, and dad would take as much care of us as mom did. But it was just the way it was. But then later on, financially, he had to go to work. So my mom never really liked that. She kind of liked him being home, so that's what he did. But most of them, were farmers.
Now, you showed me a picture earlier off camera of someone working at a store.
Oh, Lord. Grant Lilly. Mm-hmm. That would be.
He was young, right?
In the book, yes.
Yeah.
So.
We don't know if he was 12 or no.
Yeah, so Henry Lilly and Martha Hooper, that was Harry Lilly's parents. So they moved from Cashmere to Dunwich. And then Grandpa, Harry, worked at the store.
His name was Henry also. It was Henry Elmer, but they called him Harry.
Yeah, so he worked at the store. And there is an old picture, so it's in the Bouquet of Lilies book.
Oh,
there's
that's
a picture
right.
of him with kind of buckets that he's holding. He's in a store. And there's another picture in that book of him with a wagon. And on the wagon it says Fletcher Grocers, which we understand was in Dutton.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a delivery boy.
Yeah, because I always wondered about it, because I know there was Fletcher's in Iona too. And they didn't live far from Cowell. So I often wonder, but everybody says it was a Dutton store. So that's something I've never ever really proved.
Yeah, so not necessarily. So, but just on the side of it, it says
they love
Fletcher Grocer.
Mm-hmm. The Lillys loved their horses. I mean, like in old pictures that I have, even with Uncle Donald at the Patton homestead, there was always horses around.
They labeled those pictures.
Yeah.
The horses
had the names
on the back
horses.
Of them. But no family had names on the backs of the pictures, only the horses.
And my grandfather, Harry Lilly's dad, Henry, his wife was Martha Hooper, and she died at 46. And she died, like, that was down by the river, down by Cowell. He traded a house. He bought a house in when things moved out of Cowell.
Mm-hmm.
Sawmill moved out of Cowell. And so he bought a house and he traded it for a horse. And that house was moved beside the Cowell McBride Cemetery. It's been torn down and a new house is there now, but it was a store, a Silcox one at that store for a while. But yeah, so the horse thing comes, you know, they never had cars, but they did have a horse down the Lillys anyway. And then of course Mac has the farm with the Lilly, the horses.
And so Harry Lilly, so mom's grandfather, he did a lot of logging. So in the winter months, they would log. And so there'd be times that he'd be gone and that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell the story about his sleepwalking? Is that one that's...
Oh, you go ahead. You probably can tell it better than me.
So Grandpa, so Harry Lilly, he was a sleepwalker. And so the story goes that he was out logging and he had his coon dog with him. And he wasn't one to be like, you know, heights or things where you'd balance or anything like that. And so anyway, he woke up the next morning and his dog wasn't there. And so he thought, well, where is it? And so he followed the footprints across this log, across the river, kind of having to balance to do it. And he could hear his dog. Well, his dog had a coon up a tree. And Grandpa had obviously slept log, thought he was hunting with his dog, and then left the dog there with the coon up the tree, and he went back to bed. It was one of his stories.
Supposedly in his bare feet.
Yeah, they said he was in his bare feet when he did it. It was winter time.
I mean, there's the other stories. I mean, they said they never changed their underwear from the fall to spring because it was warmer though. I don't know. And Grandma didn't have, once she started having children, she, kind of spaced him out a little bit because he was away for the winter.
And there was apparently a story, and it's supposed to be in the Dutton Advance, I haven't come across it, but that they were they threshing with a pig? That was, there was a pig that somehow got underneath the stack, the haystack.
Oh, no.
And they couldn't find their sow, didn't know where she went. And it came, must have been closer to spring. So a couple months later that they found her. She was still alive, very malnourished, but she was at the bottom of this stack of hay and must have got under there and couldn't get out. And so apparently there's a story about that. That was on the Lilly Farm, but
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, one of my cousins had mentioned that to me.
I can remember my uncle having a shower, and because they didn't have hydro or anything in the house, I remember there was something about they had this little building outside, like a wash house, and they had a rope and he had a pail, and somehow he pulled it down, and that's how he got his shower. And I can remember Grandma, you know, the washing machine outside, but you had to crank it to make it work. Like I say, I was, my one aunt is only a year older than me, I'm the youngest of my siblings. So we were always kind of close when we were kids, but I never was jealous of that because I never she had to do some hard stuff. I always thought I was a little more spoiled.
The Lilies were more there was a lot of laughter. Mm-hmm. There were some practical jokes that they would do in their family. There was family was really important. Mm-hmm. And the thing with they brought in people that were maybe more distant in family as part of the family. So there's lots of people who say that, you know what, the Lilly family is their family. So I have a couple of Facebook pages, one of the Reitman family and one of the Lilly family for those who are descended, and one of the Patton family as well. But there's others who have joined and they're like, well, this is my family because they grew up or in hard times, Grandma and Grandpa would take them in. And so that was something they always said, like in the 30s when things were so poor, mm-hmm. and drifters would always come through, Grandma Lilly, Catherine Lilly, would always say that, you know, there was always food. So they were always fed,
mm-hmm.
Because they raised their own gardens, they had their own chickens, you know, they did what they could, and they would always make sure that people left full.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always such an important part, mm-hmm. and Grandma was only like 5 foot nothing, mm-hmm. and then she shrunk with age.
She was 4'10".
When she died, she shrunk with age, but she was 5 foot nothing, and she was just was just full of laughter, and just.
We always wanted to be taller than Grandma, and I grew quite quickly. So, 10 years old, we were as high as Grandma.
But you always felt loved and connected,
mm-hmm.
And fed.
Yeah,
you're always fed.
A very giving family.
They were.
The food
yes,
thing was
for
yes,
sure.
Right. But it was a warm thing. Mm-hmm.
So your sister is older or younger?
Younger. I'm the oldest. Yeah.
Okay.
Faye's 2 years younger. She married a Verard.
Okay.
Faye Verard, Frank and Faye. They live in Iowa Station.
Mm-hmm.
we were quite aggressive to each other when we were children. And I don't know if that was, sometimes I think maybe Mom kind of stirred us up a little bit, because like I say, one of us would be able to go across and come to you and drop them, but not two. So obviously we misbehaved, and there was two of us, I'm not sure. I have given her a bloody nose before, I do remember that. And yeah.
They had goats as children.
We did have a goat. Yes, I have a picture.
I remember what you named them. Your goats.
Oh, I don't remember their names.
Flossie and Lloyd. They named them after their parents.
Somebody said that, but I don't remember that part. Yeah, I just remember that. The goats were there, and we used to ride them, and that was fun, and then they disappeared. So obviously, they didn't. Mom and Dad didn't like them or something. I don't know. I don't know where they went.
They were always getting loose, apparently.
Yes, yeah. Apparently. But,
so do you remember what school was like?
Yes, I started at, and I was going to look that up, the SS number of the Largie School on, what road is that now? Curry Road right now, but anyway, I started there when I was six, so in September of 49, and then at the Easter of 50, we moved away. But I can remember, it must have been in the fall when I used to have to walk to school, because I don't remember walking in the winter, so maybe Dad took me, I don't remember that. But there was myself, Clarence Englehart, and then there was a Ripley family. So there was, Ken Ripley was my age, and then there was a Charles, well, I think he's older, Bruce and Charles, and Ken and their sister Faith, the four Ripleys, the Englehart, and myself were the only children in the school. And I was pretty shy, and Charles would play games with me at noon hour or something, and I can think it was radio. And my teacher was Florence Leach, who became Florence McQuillian. Norm McQuillian's wife. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting because he was related to my dad. But I do remember a doctor coming into the school one time, and he was like taller than the doorway is what I remember. So I don't know who he was, whether he came to give us shots or what he came for. I just remember this big, tall man coming into the school. And then one time Faith got hurt, and I don't know if it was a brother or what happened, because there wasn't that many of us at school, but somehow she got hurt, and they had to take her home, and she was bleeding, and she didn't live far away, so, but that was just all I remember. Like, I do have a report card from that school, which, somewhere in my stuff, and then we, like I say, moved to Southfold, so.
What school did you go to when you were
in Southfold? SS3, Southfold, or it's been called West McDale at times too, but it was SS3 Southfold. Went through there, and then I went into Arthur Bowden. It was the vocational school in St. Thomas when I started, then it became a secondary school. When I was finished, I went into the office for a couple of years, and then, of course, started to have my children. So. I worked in the office there for a couple of years. So, so I kind of was pulled away from family. Like, I know names of people in Dunwich because I've heard people talking about them. You know, the Mackenzies were related to but I didn't actually meet them so much because I was either too young or didn't get back down there. And I do remember going to Sunday school at the Duff Church, but probably it was with Anne, like my aunt, who is a year older than me. She was little Lily. They went to the same church when they went. So that's probably when I went with her. Maybe if I was visiting in the summer or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember otherwise actually going there. But the school was good. I didn't mind it. It was just wasn't very many of us.
Was Grandpa on the school board?
lives in
Dragon? Oh, that's S3, but not to...
Yeah. And that, is that the one that's in the corner, was the corner of Medela and Third mm-hmm. Line now? So on the northeast corner would have been the schoolhouse, and Mom lives right beside there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the northwest corner was her parents' farm. So yeah, that farm there until about
that farm
1972, I think they sold it.
And I was in grade 8. They moved there. That was right by the school. Before that, we used to have to walk to school, which would be, I don't know, seemed like forever, but maybe it was only a mile and a half. It seemed like further. We used to walk. Or I used to have a, dad bought a bicycle from Dutton, from a relative, John Boonman, or Jack Boonman, they called him. He had a bicycle shop in Dutton. Dad bought this big bike, and then he made a seat on the back for my brother David, so I got to bicycle him to school. He's 4 years younger than me, so I would have been maybe about 10. I don't think that lasted too long, I don't remember. anyway, but yeah, most of my schooling was in South Pole.
So when you weren't at school, what were you and your siblings mostly doing? Like, did you have to do chores around the farm? And...
Yeah, we did chores, helped with the feeding the cattle. Dad didn't have pigs too often. He didn't care for pigs. We did have some sheep. Even at the Patton farm they used, I had sheep. I don't remember the other little Lillies ever having sheep, but Grandpa did used to have sheep. I can remember them shearing them, but...
They often had the chickens, too. The Grandma Lily had chickens.
Yeah, and...
Grandma McCray had geese.
Yeah. And my dad, I know he had geese. I've got a picture at home of him with the geese. Mm-hmm. Kind of in that...
The variation.
That time in life. We had to work, you know, that way. Didn't think anything about it. It was just part of our mm-hmm. life. And then when I was... 14, maybe going on 15, my mom had a nervous breakdown. So when I was in grade 10 in high school, I was allowed to come home because of mom being in the mental hospital. So, so that was, we didn't have really time to think about things too much. My grandma Lily wanted us to come to Dunwich, and the dad kept us home, which I always appreciate it, but I can see her view too, worrying about us kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think my sister Jan, she went to her neighbors quite a bit, like in the daytime when Dad was working on the farm and stuff. And my youngest sister Teresa, he took her everywhere. And she lives out in Manitoba now, but she's a little bit, like she could tell you about tractors and everything else. She's very farm oriented. They don't live on a farm now, but because she always was with Dad, so she knew more about things than the rest of us. Well, the rest of us had to kind of, be in the house and kind of look after things or whatever. Although we did, I mean, I was 12 years old and I drove the tractor working land on the reserve. Dad went to land and I was really proud, and my grandpa Lily was horrified that he would allow me to do that. But I was never afraid, I thought it was neat. But he frowned on it. He didn't let his girls do that. So.
Grandpa Patton Lloyd was a very honest man, but there was one time that he came home with a car. He came home with an Edsel, a Ford Edsel car.
Mm-hmm.
And told Grandma that he was just test driving it. Well, he purchased it. And so Grandma was not a fan of the car, but two of Mom's brothers, Dave and Richard, took it joyriding across the gullies on the farm. The Edsel car. I don't know what happened to the Edsel, if they destroyed it or if it was ended up being sold. But.
It sat in back of the hills for many years. And I think when they cleaned them, all that junk out, they took away with them. Probably was worth something.
There was a cabin on that farm. It's no longer there now, but apparently it had an arrowhead embedded into the logs in the building. That's what Dave had said.
We used to play in it because it was the old post office.
Hmm.
But but it's not there anymore. They tore it.
To West Mandela.
I'm not gonna give it included to the name of the road. So when they renamed the county roads, of course, they're on what used to be the Lawrence Road because of Lawrence Station.
Yes, third line.
Which is now third line, so they changed the name of that. But the McDale Road, that she had given input into that because, of course, the little community right there was called West McDale in Central.
Yeah, so that did.
So, yeah, so that post office along building was the post office for that community.
I mean, as kids, too, we did, you know, I can remember, obviously, I had some playtime before Mom had a breakdown or whatever because there was an old chicken coop and Dad let us clean it out, you know, and it was all that gack and stuff that chickens make. And really worked hard at it. So we had a little, I don't know, table and chairs, so that we used to play out there, so pretend about things. So, I mean, it wasn't like all bad times. So Dad, when we lived, we called it the Campbell Farm, where he sharecropped, we, you know, made maple syrup, and we had the big pan, and we'd go back to the bush and, you know, bring up the sap and boil it and stuff like that. So, you know, we had lots of that. I guess we were working, but it didn't seem like work.
We enjoyed everything.
Faye and I used to have to go back and get the cows out of the woods, which I didn't care for because they could hide pretty good in the woods. But when I was little, I was afraid of cattle. There was a blue cow, and I must have took off running, and she was chasing me, right? So I was always a little scared of the cattle. But it was probably because I ran. She just ran, too, because I ran, probably. We didn't, it wasn't really a sad time. So even, I think as children, you just kind of go along with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, when Mom had the breakdown, I didn't like where she was. And I tried to talk her out of going there, but she felt she needed to go there. That was kind of sad. Well, I think it was harder for my siblings because, I mean, I was the oldest, but we didn't really realize there was a problem until she was kind of gone, had to go to the hospital. So. Mm-hmm. And that went on for a few years when Mom was okay and then wasn't okay. So, yeah, I think it was harder on the younger ones, maybe, sort of. But we made it through and did okay. And I was always kind of proud because, you know, I was valedictorian of the high school and, you know, did tops in my class, and probably if I'd been able to do other things, I wouldn't have been able to study and get good marks either. So we did okay for being farm kids, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes they kind of make kind of fun of you. You just what?
Yeah, you're out of town.
Yeah, you're out of town. We never played sports so much. Baseball. We had to play baseball at school because they didn't have enough people. So the girls had to do it too. And the boys would give you a hard time if you didn't hit the ball. And one time when I was in my later year in public school, I was shortstop and the ball hit my foot, went up and hit my head, and I ended up with concussion.
Uh-huh.
So I was in bed for a couple weeks, I guess. I don't remember. I remember Mom walking me to the bathroom, but I don't remember too much about it. They didn't like it if you didn't win. And back then, too, girls had their own entrance into the school. I don't remember that at Largie. I think there was just one door, but at Suffolk there was two.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, the girls had one entrance and the boys had the other. So if they were bugging you, you just hid out in the entrance. You didn't go out. You didn't tell the teacher. You just hid. I have done that. I can remember doing that. But just kids.
Do you remember any big weather events growing up? Like tornadoes or
the
big storms?
Hazel storm, is that what they
Hurricane
call it?
Hurricane Hazel?
Yeah. And that was the year, maybe 56. The year my dad moved from the one house in Southwold where he sharecropped to the farm where they moved to, there was that storm. And the creek overflowed or something. So it must have been the hurricane, right? And I think it would be 1956.